Well, longleaf pine and the longleaf pine ecosystem were the native pine system of the southern coastal plain, and it's what the colonists would have encountered when they came across this landscape, which had a very savanna park-like look to it. It was wide open. It was with a grassy understory. In fact, some ecologists call the longleaf system a grassland system as much as they call it a forest system. And that grassland system consisted of a huge number of plant and herb and different forbs and sedges species, and along with insects and reptiles and amphibians. And since it has declined so dramatically over the last couple hundred years down to now only about 3-3.5% of its original range, many of those species associations and the species themselves are the ones that show up the highest on the federally endangered species list and many of the state species lists of threatened and species at risk. So it's from a biodiversity standpoint, it's a very it's a somewhat rare ecosystem. We don't have as much of it as we should. Many public and private organizations came together about a year ago to create a regional plan for longleaf restoration and said that basically, at minimum, we should set a modest goal over the next decade or so of restoring the longleaf back to at least 10% of its original range. And so that's part of what's at stake here is the biodiversity legacy, a very rich and fascinating biodiversity legacy of the South that's been lost in many, many areas.
We're speaking with Eric Polola, Executive Director of Wildlife Restoration. Tell us about where in Florida people might see longleaf pine forests, where they were historically, and where you might find them now.
Historically, longleaf would have extended down to as far south as the northern third of the state, roughly. I mean, most of the remnant longleaf pine stands, as well as some that have been restored or found in the Panhandle area. Some of the key areas are around the Ocala National Forest and Eglin Air Force Base up in the northwest. And those represent, really the best places to target restoration efforts. There have been a few sort of significant areas for restoration that have been identified in this regional plan that I was referring to earlier, which really stretch across the Panhandle and into north central Florida. So that would be part of the historic range. There are some private landowners like St. Joe's Company that are doing a great job and some of the land trusts, as well as the Department of Defense, Eglin Air Force Base, may be a surprise, actually owns probably the largest stand of longleaf in the South by virtue of the size of that military base, which is over 400,000 acres.
Now, of course, climate change is a concern for a lot of ecosystems. How will southeastern forests, especially longleaf pine forests, be affected by climate change?
Well, that's a great question, and that's really what led to the production of this report that you referenced. Like a lot of conservation groups, we were initially concerned about the loss of the longleaf ecosystem from a wildlife and biodiversity standpoint, but as we looked at the restoration challenge more closely, and particularly as we looked at the climate science about how the South is changing and is likely to continue to change as a result of the stressors that climate change is creating, we really came to understand longleaf in an entirely new light and see it both as both in terms of economic opportunity as well as a viable coping mechanism, if you will, to deal with the climate stresses. So the report that we put out called Standing Tall, How Restoring Longleaf Can Help Prepare the Southeast for Global Warming, is really a story, we believe, of opportunity for not only biodiversity restoration, but for sustainable rural development and for responding to the kinds of problems that global warming is creating in the Southeast. And in particular, longleaf, relative to other pine species, has sort of the physical characteristics that make it very resilient to the kinds of problems that we expect as a result of climate change, which are warmer temperatures, more droughts, more flooding, more episodic rain events, more significant fires, and certainly more severe hurricanes. And in doing this report, we canvassed about 70 and 80 you know, very current studies on how climate is affecting the South, and it really adds up to, you know, a worrisome picture in terms of the kinds of changes that are underway. But we think longleaf is one way to really deal with those changes in a thoughtful way. One of the things that we talk about in the report, you know, has to do with the economic benefits that flow from longleaf, and so you know, this isn't simply just an environmental answer. We actually see it as a linchpin to rural development strategies within the private landowner community, of which, you know, the South, even though we've got some, you know, large blocks of national forest and industrial timberland and defense installations, actually the land base is predominantly owned by small private landowners. And so one of the things we did not want to ignore in doing this report, well, you know, what are the kinds of economic opportunities that are associated with longleaf? And one of the things that separates it from other pine species is that it's a longer lived tree. It grows to, you know, 400 years or so. It's highly prized as a saw timber. It's valued for its workability and durability by woodworkers. It's the wood that literally built much of the South. There's a tremendous cultural legacy tied to some of the historic buildings across the South, whether they're homes or churches or whatnot. And so we think that there's actually an economic diversification story that goes alongside the restoration and combating climate change aspect, which is of providing higher value timber and of providing also potential for carbon payments that will come through a federal bill that caps carbon pollution and puts a price on carbon. We think that will in turn lead to incentives for forest landowners to get paid for the carbon sequestration, and longleaf appears to be a good species for that. So the economic story of longleaf is an important component of how we think about this restoration challenge.